In Parsha Parlodcha, it's interesting how the narrative and the laws interact with one another, which means laws are presented, but they're presented within a larger narrative. One law which is introduced comes at the foot of a narrative which is connected to a law, and that is the Jews are now in the desert. 1 year has gone by since they received the information regarding that very first Passover. Since 1 year ago, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when they were still in Egypt, God spoke to Moshe and Aaron and gave them all kinds of instructions regarding what would be known as Passover, Pesach, Chag HaMatzot. Now, 1 year later, Moshe and Aaron receive instructions to go and tell the people that we're going to do it again. We're going to celebrate the holiday. A couple of people come over, we're not told how many, and they have a complaint. Their complaint is that because of the situation of impurity that they are experiencing, namely by virtue of coming in contact with a dead body, they would not be allowed to be involved in the Korban Pesach, in the Passover service. And they question the propriety of this, the fairness of this, and they ask, how can they possibly be excluded from this mitzvah? We can understand where they're coming from. No one wants to be excluded when there's a celebration. But over here, it's a celebration which is really important. It's a celebration of commemorating leaving Egypt, of God being involved in history. But it's also something else. The Jewish people became a nation at that point. Leaving Egypt, or even celebrating Passover, was, in a certain sense, the beginning of nationhood. And they feel excluded. And they turn to Moshe, and again, if we think about their complaint, they say, we were doing a mitzvah. We were involved in doing something which we're commanded to do. So how is it possible, if we're doing something which we're commanded to do, that there are such negative consequences that we're excluded from the people? The Talmud discusses an argument regarding which body it was that they dealt with. You know, on the one hand, one could say, and this is one of the opinions, that somebody passed away. Could have been anyone. I mean, in such a big nation, it's reasonable to say that in the course of a day, a week, that somebody, unfortunately, would pass away. But there's another couple of opinions of the Talmud. One of them states that it was actually the remains of Nadav and Avihu, which they were involved with. And Nadav and Avihu, of course, the sons of Aaron, who had died on the first day of Nisan. Part of the problem or the challenge with this is, well, why were they still suffering from Tum'ah? Because they had enough time in order to become purified. But there's another opinion which is really interesting, and it says that they were involved in the transport of the remains of Yosef, which means presumably the sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, were buried at some place in the desert. But Yosef made his brothers, children, their children, the entire Jewish people, promise that when they leave, they would take his remains. I mean, there's a moral issue over here, which is spelled out by the Midrash. Yosef was kidnapped. Yosef was taken from his home, his homeland. He was taken from the city of Shechem, and Yosef insists that he be returned. And eventually Yosef is buried by the city of Shechem. It's not just poetic justice, it's responsibility. If you cause some kind of damage, it needs to be healed. Which leads us to a much deeper point. The Meshech Chachma raises a question, and he says, Yosef was the one who says to his brothers, children, their children, the day will come that you will be taken out. The day will come that will be a redemption. The day is going to come that you're going to leave Egypt, and you're going to go back to the land of Israel. Which means Yosef, among all the other qualities that he had, he's the one who expresses belief in the future, belief in a redemption. So the Meshech Chachma sharpens the question and says, how can it then be that the people who are caring and caring for Yosef's remains, that specifically those people would be unable to be a part of this mitzvah of the Passover, of the Korban Pesach? But I think if once we consider this, it takes us to a whole other place. Yosef was the person who forgave his brothers. He forgave them, he cared for them, he gave them jobs and gave them food and gave them homes. He took care of his family. Which means Yosef is somebody who represented a second chance. In the midst of this dysfunctional family, this family which was marked by hatred and jealousy, this family which almost killed Yosef and then sold him, Yosef forgives and creates a new opportunity for a new relationship, for a second chance. How appropriate is then that the people who carry Yosef's remains, They're the ones who ask Moshe, but we want to be part of the nation. And God then says, in another month, we're going to do something which is completely antinomian, something which is completely against the normal laws. Because normally we have a law, over zmano, batel korbano. If the time has passed, you can't bring an offering. But now they're given a second chance to bring this offering. And that's what's remarkable. But how appropriate. Really think about it. It's incredibly appropriate. How appropriate are those people who carried Yosef's remains are the ones who cause a new law to be introduced, a law of second chances. A law that if you missed bringing the Passover offering with everyone else, you can always do it a month later. Yosef who creates a second chance for the Jewish people to be one in his merit, creates a new law that we could become one.